Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all seated in heavenly places in Jesus our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and today is our live weekly Prophecy Reality Edition. So we have the studio cam on. We are in the chat room at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Click on the chat button there and join us if you're listening live. If not, or if your hands are busy, and you have to keep working, well, just keep working and keep listening. What are we going to talk about today? Well, kind of scour the news for anything prophetic in the news, and well, it just so happens there's really not a whole lot going on having to do with the revelation or fulfilling prophecy other than that which is ongoing. So let's go to the Word of God first. Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Okay, that was Galatians chapter 3 there, a few verses. Oh, what are we going to talk about today? Well, I wanted to talk about what's going to happen about the year 2055. Yeah, that's a key year for me. Posting, which I started about, I don't know, what was it, 2008 or 2009? And then I finally posted the last, it says 2013. I know I had some versions of it before that, the last posting, and this one has been edited, for several years before I stopped editing. I don't know when the last added on this was. What year is it post? But about the year 2055, and I didn't try to nail down the exact year. I say give or take a year, but you know, there's a window there, maybe a 3-year window with 2055 in the middle, because we're on the Gregorian, we're on the Pope's calendar. Let's put it plainly, we are on the Roman papal calendar, unknown to most people, Rome is still the empire that rules the world. This is what Bible prophecy tells us, that the Roman Empire is the last of the worldly empires that rules and goes to perdition. People don't recognize it because of the condition of the Roman Empire, how it's all broken up into pieces. But, you know, this is exactly what the scripture said would happen to it, that it would be a broken Roman Empire, that it would be broken by the effects of clay, you know, clay mingled with the iron. And, you know, when did this clay mingling with the iron, what does that mean? Well, I believe that the clay represents the people of God, because clay is moldable, and the people of God need to be moldable in the hands of God. And I think that this brokenness is an effect of God's kingdom on the earth and on the Roman Empire. Though that there's plenty of iron out there still, that enough to get trampled by if you're in the right place at the wrong time or whatever. So we have the effect of the clay on the iron, breaking it in pieces so that it doesn't look cohesive and nobody recognizes it. They talk about the fall of the Roman Empire. But did the Roman Empire really fall? Well, pagan Rome fell. Then after that, papal Rome rose up, ruled for 1260 years in that form. In the form where it ruled through that 10-horn power of the beast, And then it was punished as foretold by the scripture. The Holy Roman Empire was punished, and that punishment began about that judgments on her began about the French Revolution and continued for almost, 80 years until she finally lost all of her temporal power completely in 1870. But the scripture did foretell that wound, as it were to death, by the sword, and that's what it was. It was by the sword, beginning with the French Revolution, and then Napoleon swept over the whole European continent and punished all of those nations. One nation stood out and did not take part in that punishment, at least not directly on its land, and that was the tenth of the kingdom that fell away from the papal Roman Empire, being that she was the first to fall away. Of course, that was the British Isles that fell away from the papal power when a tenth of the kingdom fell. So she was the only part of that papal kingdom that was not involved directly in the punishments and that were due, the judgments that came upon the whole of the Holy Roman Empire throughout Europe, as promised by God. And so the head received that deadly wound, as it were to death, but it doesn't say it was dead. And it says, but that deadly wound was healed. And that we recognize that healing took place about 1929, when the Vatican received its sovereign status once again, and stands among the nations as a separate city-state. Of course, behind the scenes all the time, she was still working through her Jesuit Counter-Reformation Army and has gained total control back into her hands, though not in the same method that she controlled during the 1260 years. Yes, I am talking about the Antichrist, the man of sin, that Paul spoke of in Thessalonians, who we call the Antichrist, that rules the world, as prophesied by the scriptures itself. Now, everyone who believes in the Word of God, whether they're futurists, historicists, I don't know what preterists believe, but we won't go there. There's so few of those. They believe that the Antichrist will rule for the last 7 years. I guess, but that he won't be revealed. Unfortunately, they're deluded. They believe the Jesuit lie that began with Francisco Ribera. The whole thesis of an end-time Antichrist who only appears for a fleeting few years before the return of Christ was invented solely by the Jesuit Francisco Ribera as a tactic of the Counter-Reformation. See, because they don't even believe in the return of Christ. They don't believe in a physical, literal return of Christ. But they know that the people they're trying to get believe in this end-time Antichrist scenario, they know that they do believe, that they are millenarians, that they believe in a physical, bodily return of Christ. Not a Catholic belief, but was a Protestant belief. But now they're no longer Protestants, they're evangelicals, believing in the counter-reformation lie that's been fed to them. So as we've exposed here many times, over and over again, that the Antichrist was revealed, that man of sin was revealed a long, long time ago. And the recognition of him only grew as the 1260 years of his reign continued until the Reformation exploded on the world. If there were pre-Reformation fathers and pre-Reformation believers that were not part of the Catholic Church that knew or suspected, but when the Reformation broke upon Martin Luther, nailing his 95 Theses to the door at Wittenberg, the recognition of Antichrist, or the man of sin, sitting in the seat of the papal throne in the Vatican, became a well-known fact, only to be covered up over the centuries by counter-reformation efforts. And they did a pretty good job of covering it up. Well, time goes on, and we recognize that there is a big change coming soon in the future. Talk about a coup. You know, I mean, the truthers and the Patriot radio network and all that, they get all excited about reading from that famous Albert Pike, who wrote about there would be three world wars, blah, 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 before something or other. And I don't know what that was all about, but he foretold three world wars, and everyone gets excited about it, and they're looking for the next world war. Okay? Well, define world war, you know. I think if you're going to define it by on the tenet of World War One and World War Two, well, that would mean that most of there were armies from, you know, at least three of the continents involved in the war. Like we had Europe, Asia, and the Americas involved in World War II and World War I. So if we're waiting for a world war, well, we're still waiting for a third world war. But you know, the Bible does talk about a final conflict, and I believe it will be a world war. And I'm going to be in that world war. I'm going to be on the winning side. And they call it the Battle of Armageddon. And, you know, you think about this great coup, because that's what it is. It's the day, the great day of God Almighty, when He appears with all His saints, which means I have to appear with Him. So there's going to be a resurrection, and we're going to be caught up to meet Him, you know, and we will forever be with Him, but we are going to be part of His army. And no, see, we don't need to go to boot camp. You know, I marvel that, you know, I have chickens here, and I incubate chickens, and they come out of the egg, and within a few hours, they're up scratching around, eating food and drinking, you know. And it's because they have chicken programming in their brain already, see. They didn't have to be trained. The mama chicken, you know, trains them for so many months, but they don't even need a mama chicken. They still get up and they get a group mentality going. But they know how to scratch and peck and eat and walk around almost immediately. See, because that's the way God programmed them. So if God can do that for a little chick that just hatches out of an egg, well, we have no problem. We don't need boot camp. We don't need a 7-year period to get trained by God how to return in His army, because we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. It says, first the dead in Christ will be raised, then we who are alive and remain, and I'm hoping to be one of those, just have to live long enough, and that's a possibility, okay? And so we who are alive and remain will be changed, and then we will be caught up together, okay, with those who were dead, that were raised. And see, then we're all changed together, and we're caught up together, and we upon the return of Christ, and instantly we know everything we need to know to fit into His army for the great coup that is coming on the earth. That's right. And you can see, when you think about that, what is going to happen. I mean, is Jesus going to come first and going to ask them to surrender? Perhaps. I mean, for some reason, they're going to say, this is going to be the alien threat that they're talking about. They're always talking about alien threat. Well, we are going to be the alien threat. That's right. When Jesus returns, see, we are not of this world already, but when we are changed and we are like him, and we will instantly be equipped to fit into his army, into his kingdom government, where he wants us to be instantly, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just like that. And that is coming real soon. That will be inside of 40 years. If 2015 was the 40-year mark of the last 40 years, if 2055 is the beginning of the seventh millennium and the end of the sixth millennium, and Christ is going to return, then that will be the great coup spoken of by Daniel the prophet in Daniel chapter 2. It says that the rock formed without hands will strike the image of this world's government in the feet and shatter it to pieces. It will be like the chaff of the threshing floor, which the wind blows away so that no place will be found for it anymore. And then that rock will become a great mountain and fill the whole earth. That's the kingdom of God. That's the last and final kingdom for this heaven and this earth, this creation. The period of 7,000 years complete is what this creation. After that comes a new heaven and new earth according to the Revelation. So coming real soon is the end of the 6,000 years. Okay, around 2055, take a look at my what year is it posting there. And you can verify it by going to the Bible yourself. It really wouldn't, you might have to spend a couple hours looking at all the verses and checking it out for yourself and to assure yourself that what I have written in this post is true. And I believe it, you know, with my listeners and some that are in the chat room right now, and many others, you can find all of their comments on the post there. And what year is it? Let me put that on the screen here. And this is it here. What year is it? Okay. And if you scroll down to the bottom of that post, let's scroll down to the bottom where the comments are. And you can see everything you need, every scripture text that you need is in there for you to verify, plus a lot more information about the calendars and such. It's all in there. And you're going to find 99 comments, people, mostly who have helped me, and other questions, as you can see, that have helped me vet this posting. What year is it? And yeah, there's a lot of comments that you can, and there's a great education just in the comments alone. So go through the post, what year is it, and read all of the comments, and that'll help you decide and vet it for yourself as you see how me and all of my contributors, my readers, have helped me vet this over many years to the point where it is right now, where I can't seem to make any more corrections. I mean, I could try to get down to the month, but I'm not that interested. You know, it's about 2055, a year this way or that way. I don't really care, you know, because I'm not, a lot of people would try to figure out it exactly, but I'm not that interested. For my purposes, you know, within a year is close enough. And, you know, I take my cue from the Word of God itself and the first appearance of the Messiah. See, because God did tell Israel through the prophet Daniel and also through the Malachi prophecies that the Messiah would be coming to the temple. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to the temple, even the messenger of the covenant. We talked about that last week. So it was prophesied that the Messiah was going to come to the temple. And then Daniel gives a prophecy, the 70 weeks prophecy, and he says, 69 weeks unto Messiah. And then the Messiah is going to show up for the 70th week. And in the midst of the week, he shall be cut off. not for himself, but for the people. And in the midst of the week, he shall put an end to the sacrifice and oblation, which he did by the sacrifice of himself. And we know that was the Messiah, not the Antichrist, not that Jesuit counter-reformation nonsense to vindicate the papacy. That's all that is, all that futurist end time Antichrist, the Daniel 70th week being yet future, has only one singular purpose. It was made up for one singular purpose. To vindicate the papacy from being the seat of the Antichrist. That's it. Counter-Reformation eschatology built on the foundation of the Jesuit Ribera. Just for Protestants, to get them away, to get them to look for a different Antichrist than the one that was plainly in your sight, revealed by the church 1,000 years ago. Definitely set in concrete by the reformers. Because when Luther discovered Christ, and he started to preach Christ and him crucified, Christ alone, our salvation in him alone, by grace alone, the five solas, suddenly the Antichrist rose up against him with his papal bulls, his papal thunders, and he thundered excommunication against him. He demanded that he recant of his gospel belief in Jesus, the Messiah, as the true Christ and the true gospel. Suddenly, Luther realized that he was seeing the very Antichrist, foretold by the scriptures, by Paul as the man of sin, by John as the Antichrist of the Revelation. You're listening Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone. Absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. I want to thank everyone for joining me today or this morning. When you read the book of Revelation and you read it from the beginning up until the time of Christ's return, and of course then we read about the millennium, and by the end of it we're into an eternal kingdom, a new heaven and new earth. And you know, we can read it in a few hours at our own leisure, but we have to realize when we read that from the beginning of the book of Revelation up until the consummation, the return of Christ, the era that we're living in now, this we're covering almost 2,000 years of history there, and it takes us just a few minutes to read it. And we read about the return of Christ and the so-called Battle of Armageddon, or the Great Day of God Almighty, when He returns and all of His saints with Him. And of course, that would be us who belong to Him. We can read it just like that. But what's that really going to play out like? Christ returns. There's not a rapture. We are going to be changed. Something, the resurrection will happen, and that there will be people on the earth who will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I don't call that the rapture, because the rapture is all mixed up with the 70th week of Daniel and, the pseudo 70th week of Daniel, not the one that really happened when Christ was crucified and put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of Himself in the midst of the real 70th week. That's the raptures around that 7-year tribulation deception, I call it. Not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the resurrection. And I do read about the resurrection, you know, at the last trump. And there's only one last trump, otherwise it wouldn't be the last trump. There's a lot of problems with the futurist end-time Antichrist scenario. A lot of problems. Of course, there has to be problems with it, because it's not true and it's not according to God's Word. But what will that be like? Christ will return and we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We'll join those that were raised from the dead and we'll be caught up together to meet Christ, it says, in the air. Okay? And that's the atmospheric air. That's, you know, where we are now. It says He will return in like manner as He left. Okay, so when He returns in like manner, we're going to be caught up with Him. I guess, you know, if He can float in the air in His glorified body, well, we're going to receive glorified bodies too. We're going to receive the body like He had, a body that will never grow old, never get sick. It won't be like our mortal infirm bodies. We will have a body that was planted like His was, and grew into a new man, the spiritual man that all of us look forward to. That's the gospel prize, is the resurrection. And so we will be with Him, and the world is going to see these governments out there that are going to be vanquished. You know, you're going to have the UN, and you're going to have American and Washington, D.C. government. You know, you're going to have all the governments of the world are going to get together, because here's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords appearing with His people. And it's going to be an alien threat to the world. And he's going to say, I'm back. And I am going to rule the world the way the world should be ruled. Okay? And they're going to fight. They're going to gather together. That's going to be their answer. It's already written. I mean, I read the book. So it's already written. That's what they're going to do. How fast all this, this might take months. I don't know. I mean, you know, he is a patient God. And he's not just going to show up and wipe them out just like that. They're going to gather together for this battle. And, you know, mortals have limitations. It takes time to do this stuff. So there's going to be a passage of time. And a lot of people on the earth are going to be making up their mind during that time. Of course, those that miss the resurrection, they might be changing their mind. See, because there are going to be mortals that are going to live through it. So a lot of them are going to decide that, hey, you know what? I think I want to be on the Jesus side. Seriously, think about how this is going to play out. If they're going to be gathered together, it's not going to be like at the snap of the fingers. This may take several years. You know, or at least months. I mean, months would be fast for this thing to happen, for them to come together. So trying to think about, and so this, it's going to be a great coup. Jesus is going to say, I'm taking over and I'm going to rule physically and bodily on the earth. And this is my army. These are the kings and the priests that are going to rule with me. And you'll notice that a lot of them came out of your ranks because they believed in me first. And they put me before everything. They were already a part of my kingdom in their mortal bodies. Now they have received their reward. And they are part of my immortal kingdom. They have become immortals. And we're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And a lot of people are going to want to surrender. But for the most part, they're not going to want to surrender. So, because it says that all of the wicked, all of those who opposed him, will be destroyed. So who's going to populate the earth? Well, those who did not oppose him. These things are things to ponder, things to think about. Because, you know, there's a lot of, what's his name, LaHaye and Jenkins, they wrote the whole Left Behind series, apocalyptic writing. It's very popular. You know, and it's all over the TV networks, internet and otherwise, apocalyptic shows all over the place. So apocalyptic writing, but you know, how about a different type of apocalyptic writing? You know, how about apocalyptic writing about the truth? A little fiction. WW says, I still can't find any scripture saying that there will be mortals during the millennium. Well, yes, you can. Okay. Talks about the battle. There's a final battle at the end of the millennium. It's called the Gog and Magog battle, where Satan is loosed out of his prison for a little season. See, because Satan is going to be bound for the most part of the millennium. But at the end of the millennium, there's a little season where Satan is loose to gather together all things in the earth that are opposed to Christ for the final judgment before the new heaven and new earth and before the second resurrection. Okay? So Satan is an organizing power in the world right now. He is an organizing spirit to organize evil. And that's why he was able to tempt Jesus and say, all of these kingdoms are mine. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, they're mine because they are his. Because he tempts men with power and authority and riches and all of the lusts of the flesh and the pride of life. He tempts them with all these things. And, you know, that's kind of what most people who go into politics are tempted by those things, and they give in to the temptation. Well, Jesus, of course, rejected that temptation. Okay? But Satan will be locked up for most of that 1,000 years. And at the end of it, okay, he will be loose for a little season to sort them out. And then they're going to encompass the camp of the saints about, and thinking they're going to destroy them or take over the world again. And they're going to go back to the way things were before the millennial reign of Christ. That's what's going to enter their mind. We will rule the world. And they're going to oppose the rule of Christ even after the greater part of that last millennium. But they're going to be destroyed instantly at that time. So maybe that's a question we should look into next week. Scriptures that support mortals in the millennium. I know a lot of people have a problem with that, but there is enough scriptural evidence, and I would have it all at my fingertips if I had known beforehand. So I'm going to write myself a post-it note. Mortals in the millennium right now. And we're going to talk about mortals in the millennium next week. How about that? Because there is plenty. Okay, so I got myself a note. Yes, when Satan is loosed, it will be the same time as the second, not better, resurrection. But that is at the end of the millennium. So where do these people come from that Satan gathers together to go against the government of Christ? Where do they come from? Does he get them out of those that were resurrected from the dead? No. They have to be mortals. There will be mortals. Mark my words. There will be mortals who will live through the return of Christ. Yeah. I think you'd have to show me where it says that every single person on earth will be killed except those that are resurrected upon his return. So if that's true, then who is there left to oppose Christ if there's only resurrected saints during the millennium? So anyway, we'll talk about that next week, WW. It's kind of hard to do research right now all live on the air. So anyway, setting that aside till next week, we'll talk more about what happens in the millennium, and we'll try to get our scriptures, all our ducks in a row for you there. We have a coup coming. Christ is going to return. We are going to be changed, and the governments of the world are not going to like this alien threat. Because what they're going to say is kind of like this alien returned and he changed. I mean, you see this kind of theme in science fiction all the time, where the aliens come and they take over the minds of some men, so that some men are now working for the aliens as part of their army. And you know, so that's kind of what's gonna happen to us. But see, we're willing participants in this alien to the world threat, because we're looking forward to it. This is, you know, the gospel prize to us is to be changed, to become like, you know, our master, our Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected form, you know, after he rose from the dead. Yeah, he could appear here and there, and he had, you know, supernatural powers, or at least what would be supernatural to us mere mortals here on earth. Let's see. Justin says, the U.S. pretty much bows to Rome already. Proof, Pope before our Congress. What do you think that meant, prophetically speaking? Well, prophetically speaking, it verifies what the scripture already says about Rome ruling until the consummation, and the papacy ruling until the consummation. To think about that one for a second. Okay. Rome already rules America. It's true. Rome through its, and I'm going to say its, because America was already set up with the Articles of Confederation. I believe that there was a plot to amalgamate or to bring all the power of those states together in one place. And I believe that was culminated in the Constitution for the United States, which called for Washington, D.C., a central government in America. And that question was settled finally once and for all, because the papacy knew, or the Jesuits, I say, because the Jesuits, I believe, working behind the scenes, got the Constitution with that, F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil, but with that Washington, D.C., that central government place we call Washington, D.C., which is not one of the 50 states. It is a separate, sovereign city-state. That's what Washington, D.C. It's a separate, sovereign city-state in the world. It's not one of the 50 states. It's not one of the United States of America. But it is a separate, sovereign city-state, like the Vatican, and like the financial district of London. Three separate city-states that rule the world, through which the Vatican rules the world. So the Vatican already rules the United States of America through Washington, D.C., because she set it up, and most of the legislation, I believe it's Georgetown University that really rules. Get F. Tupper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil. If you don't have it, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org. There's a Bible studies page there. Let me verify that by looking at it myself. It's a Bible study page. And if you scroll down, there are prophecy classics there. There's a list of books there. And we have the original Hoary Apocalyptic A there, Papacy and the Civil Power. And at the very bottom, you'll see Rulers of Evil. There's a PDF there by F. Tupper Saucy. Quite an eye-opening book. I recommend every chapter, except the last one. I think he goes off on a different topic, kind of altogether. But it should open your eyes quite a bit. I would like to see more work done on that, more verifying work done on the Rulers of Evil. Of course, F. Tupper Saucy passed away about 2005, so we're not going to get any more out of him. One of the big publishers, I guess, owns the copyright, and they're not publishing the book anymore, so you can't buy a copy. But you do have a PDF there, and if you want a printed copy, I'm going to tell you how to get one. Take the PDF I have there, okay? Go over to Lulu Press, make your lulupress.com account, or Lulu Press account, as a writer, publisher, a self-publisher, and then submit that PDF to be printed in a book form. It'll cost you about $6 to have it printed. I know I have several printed for my own use. So you can buy a copy of F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil by having it printed through Lulu Press in your own account, but you can't sell it. Otherwise, they'll come after you for copyright infringement. But you can do it as a private printing for your own use. Don't tell anybody I said that now, but anyway, but it's there in PDF form. If you really want to read it, you should. Absolutely. Oh, man, time is just flying here. Any more questions? Okay, WW says, and Jesus answers that children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor... Well, that's true, WW, but see, we're not going to marry or be given in marriage once we're in the resurrection. But the mortals who are not, they will marry. They will be given in marriage. And of course, it will be under the rulership of Christ and us, his kings and priests, who rule with him for that 1,000 years. I mean, who are we going to be ruling over? Each other? Come on, we don't need a government. You know, we are self-governing. So we are going to rule over the mortals that do live on the earth for that 1,000 years. A whole new harvest of people, you know. But people still sons and daughters of Adam. Some will be unregenerate. Some will receive the gospel, just like now. But it will be a different, instead of being under the rulers of Satan and the rulers of evil, it will be under the rule of Christ. But many will still rebel. Except there will be no organizing spirit like the spirit of Satan to organize them. Okay? That's the difference. And what will that demonstrate? Well, that will demonstrate to the world that even with the perfect government, men will still sin and choose evil. Yeah. What does man say? Well, we're a product of our environment. If everyone had the same opportunities and the same environment and the same input, they would all choose to be good or whatever. Well, that demonstration is coming for most part of 1,000-year reign of Christ. Okay, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Yes, that's one of them. Good. That's good, Naughty Pines. That's the kind of stuff that I'll be bringing up next week. So if anyone has anything, they can, you know, email to me or leave a comment on my website. Like, that's a good one. Zechariah 14. So there's a whole bunch. I mean, you could probably write a whole book of scriptures there. So I appreciate that, Naughty Pines. But anyway, be looking for it. Coming soon. Study my What Year Is It posting. Someone put it in a link in the chat room earlier. And see for yourself that we have till about 2055. So if you're a young man, you know, 60 and under, you may live to see it. Of course, you have to live to be 100 or nearly 100. But if you're definitely like in your 40s or under, well, you should live long enough to see it if you can live to be 80 or near 80. Okay, if you're 30 and under, you definitely see it, you know, if you live to 70. Okay, because if we got 38 years to go or thereabouts, see, I'm already beyond 60 myself, so I have to live to be about 100 to see it. But hey, people do live that long, so I'm doing my part, to make it, because I'd like to be one of those. But whatever happens. If I don't live to see it, I would rather be martyred for Christ. I would rather be thought worthy of that honor, because yeah, we may have some tough times coming, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep spreading the word and preaching the gospel message that comes by that word until 2055 or thereabout, when Christ comes, and then I will be changed and in the resurrection, in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, and will be caught up with those who are raised from the dead to meet him in the air. Do not doubt it for a minute. Okay, I'm going to come back and we're going to jump back into our final segment on history unveiling prophecy or time as an interpreter. So don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.